If you would please this morning and turn to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter number 21. As you're finding your place in the Word of God this morning, I've got a couple of anniversaries that we want to recognize today. As you're finding your place, Steve and Gail Parsons will be celebrating on the 7th. How many years, Miss Gail? 54 years. Congratulations. Amen. Congratulations. And then Farrell and Martha Little will be on the 12th. How many years, Brother Farrell? 42 great years. All right. All right. Wonderful. That's wonderful. Congratulations to you folks as well. And also, if you'll notice, I'm sure you noticed as you come in this morning, Brother Rich has been back in the baking business again. And if you celebrate a birthday or anniversary this month, he's made you a cake. And so make sure you get that before you leave today. He goes to a lot of effort to bake those, and it smells real good out there in the vestibule. If you had about a gallon of milk, you could go to work out there. Amen? So I appreciate, I know many of you have enjoyed these cakes that he bakes. And so I think he did make a few extra, and we'll bid those off after the service today. And all proceeds, we'll find something to do with them. Amen? No, I'm just kidding. But we appreciate Brother Rich doing all that. And so if you had a birthday or anniversary, please get your cake before you leave today. Matthew chapter number 21, all hearts free this morning. Before I read our text, of course, we've been studying the book of Matthew now for a good little while. And a couple of weeks ago, of course, we were in Matthew 21 as well. And we looked at verses 21 down through verse 32. And we brought the thought on who will you follow or who will you believe? Will you believe Jesus or you believe man and follow him? And today I want to pick up in verse 33 and read down through verse 46, of course, completing this chapter today. And I want to leave with you this morning this thought. I'm going to read you the verses here in just a moment. Of course, Jesus is continuing the parables. We, of course, know that he's been questioned about his authority. And we find that, of course, Jesus is dealing with all of that. And we find that a continuation, I believe, here in verses 33 through verses 46. I want to ask the question this morning, or our thought will be in the form of a question from these verses of Scripture. It's what the Lord spoke to my heart about from these particular verses. And it's this question, and I want you to, each of us today, to search our hearts with this question. And the question is simply this: what will you do with God's Son? What will you do with God's Son? I want you to notice that. I think we can pull that right out of this parable here today, as, again, Jesus here is dealing with the Pharisees and the religious leaders, and, again, they're questioning his authority, and he continues to deal with them on the fact of what will you do with God's Son. Very important question this morning. What will you do with God's Son? That being said, this morning I'm going to ask you to stand, if you're able to stand this morning, out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. For just a few moments, I want to read these verses of Scripture and have prayer and give you the thoughts that God's placed upon my heart. Thank you again for being in the service here this morning. Good to see our folks from Georgia back with us today, Brother Jerry, Nancy, Van Pelt. Did I get that right? Good to have you all with us again today in the service along with each and every one of you. Good to see all of you in the house of God. Verse number 33, notice Jesus here again deals with another parable. Here another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard, and hedged it round about, and digged a wine press in it, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants, and beat one, and killed another, and stoned another. And again, he sent other servants more than the first. They did unto them likewise. Notice in verse 37, but last of all, he sent unto them his son. What will you do with God's Son? Notice in verse 37, but last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir, come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they called him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto these husbandmen? Notice the question. Notice their answer in verse 41. They say to him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbands, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scripture, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? That is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you. Notice that in verse 43, therefore shall say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever, notice in verse 44, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever, now notice this, it shall fall, the stone fall, it will grind him to powder. When the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived, watch it now, that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet. Notice again in verse 37, but last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in your presence once again today, Lord, to thank you, Father, for another good day this side of eternity. Thank you for this Lord's day that, Lord, you've given us the opportunity and the privilege, Lord, to be able to come back to your house this morning and worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, our hearts have already been encouraged this morning by the teaching of the word of God. And then, Father, the wonderful singing, the time of fellowship and worship today. Now, Lord, as your servant, I pray, God, this morning that you'd anoint me afresh and anew. God, I pray that you'd anoint my mind and my mouth and my heart, that, Lord, I'd preach the very message, Lord, you placed upon my heart for this hour. Then I pray that ears will be sensitive and hearts tender, God, to the word of God here this morning. I pray for everyone that is saved here today that, Lord, we would consider what we're going to do with God's Son. But more importantly today, I would pray for those here today. Lord, it's never been born again. I pray that he, the Holy Ghost of God, would convict them and draw them, realizing that, Father, what we do with you today, Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that will determine where we spend eternity, Lord, how we live our lives here. So I pray this morning that, Father, you'll just settle in right now. God, I pray that you remove every hindrance. I pray people will be attentive. And, Lord, I pray they'll be receptive under the preaching of the word of God. Lord, we love you today. We thank you for Calvary and all that you've done, Lord, all that you're doing, all you're going to do. I pray blessing the message now. And Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious word of God. Again, this very crucial and critical question that I want to leave into your ears, into your hearts this morning. Again, the thought, what will you do with God's Son? Of all the questions that come before us in this walk of life, there is none with a greater impact or importance than the question, what will I do with God's Son? Jesus, of course, here in this parable, illustrates this very thought through this parable in our text today as he continues to deal with the religious leaders of his day that had questioned his very authority. Just as they chose, you and I will choose today what we will do with God's Son. I want you again, I pray the Holy Ghost will settle in here this morning. I pray that each of us will have tender ears and tender hearts, receptive ears and receptive hearts, because, again, it's the most crucial question that's placed before mankind today, because it will determine where you will spend eternity when this life is over. Not only will it determine your eternity, but it'll also determine your lifestyle and how you live your life, and how I live my life this morning is what we do with God's Son. So with that being said, in the way of introduction this morning, let me give you just a few things about the parable. Number one, you'll find in this parable the thought of a householder. The householder this morning is a picture. Now, notice Jesus in a lot of his teaching and preaching, he uses the parables and illustrations that those, especially those religious leaders that he was dealing with, could understand. And so the householder is a picture of God the Father. Then the vineyard this morning is a picture of mankind and of the work of bringing forth fruit.
unto the Father. We also find the husbandman here that's mentioned here in this parable. Now realize that he's dealing, of course, with Israel, with the Jews, and the religious leaders of the Jewish people. And the husbandman today is a picture of Israel. Of course, God given, of course, unto them as his people, of course, Israel. And we know about Israel. And, of course, God places responsibility here upon Israel as the husbandman. Then notice he mentions the servants. Of course, the servants I believe that Jesus is making reference to, of course, is the Old Testament prophets and all those that stood for God, certainly in the Old Testament and before the Jews that proclaimed his word. So we not only have the servants, and then he talked about more servants considering those prophets. And then lastly, we find a son. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God today. There is a son. He sent the prophets and they prophesied of the son that would come. Boy, I'm glad this morning, thank God, 2,000 plus years ago that he came. The son come, and here, of course, he gives here, of course, with the parable, there's a lot of typology and all that today, but with the son, we find, of course, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God himself sent to be the sacrifice. He says, if I send my son, they'll reverence my son. And of course, the very Son of God standing before them. And of course, they would not reverence him. Could I say today that it's no different? Friend, I'll tell you what, he's still, thank God, the Son. He's still the Savior. He's still the sacrifice. He's still, thank God, the one that's supreme. Thank God, he's still the one that can wash away sin. He's still the one this morning that you and I need to look to. He's the one that we need to trust. He's the one this morning that can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He's the one this morning. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. He's the one, thank God, that is faithful. Hallelujah. When we don't understand and when we don't have the answers, thank God today. Friend, what will you do with God's Son? You say, preacher, I don't have to answer that question. You're answering that question as you sit here this morning. What will you do with God's Son? Now, I want to give you a few things this morning from these verses of Scripture that I pray will prick our heart and help us as we consider this thought of what we will do with God's Son. Young or middle-aged or old, you must answer the question, what will you do with God's Son? Now let's look at the parable for a few moments this morning with God's help. Number one, I want you to notice from the parable that there was a responsibility given. And that responsibility, of course, as Jesus is dealing with the Pharisees and the religious leaders, we find that that responsibility was given unto Israel. Now we know again this morning, Israel being the nation of Israel, being God's chosen people. And thank God they're still God's people today, by the way. Amen. Israel is still important in the eyes of Almighty God. But we also find today with that responsibility was given unto the nation of Israel. And again today it's given unto the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because why? That's what he died for. That's what he established, is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find in the parable that there is a responsibility that was given. God was calling out a people unto himself. Of course, he called out the nation of Israel after a people unto himself to be a peculiar people, to be a people that would point all the heathen people around them to the true and the living God. Can I say this morning to Pleasant Grove Baptist Church and every other Bible believing church and Bible preaching church, we have a great responsibility that's been appointed unto us in this hour of grace, in this dispensation of grace, and that's to reach out to the world today with the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And can I say today, thank God it still works. Thank God it's the only thing that will work. And so this morning, what will we do with God's Son? There was a responsibility given, and of course that responsibility, God had a purpose for that, again, to fulfill God's work. But I want you to notice, Al, Jesus is letting them know that they have failed to accomplish what God wanted them to accomplish and what God wanted them to see and who God wanted them to trust. And so today, friend, I'll tell you, there's a great responsibility that's put on the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray we not fail in the mission that God's given unto us, and that's to go out into all the world and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see not only was there a responsibility was given, but secondly, I want you to know there was a rejection. There was a rejection as Jesus is going through this parable. And today, I'm afraid that's the very problem that we have before us this morning. There is a rejection. It's still a problem today. Can I say this rejection is a condition of the heart? Amen? It's a condition of the heart. Can I say this morning, we're living in wicked times. Can I say that it looks like that sin is abounding on every hand? I'm glad the Bible says where sin did abound, that grace did much more abound. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Listen, there's still hope. Hallelujah. Friend, this morning for you that may be here lost today, there's still hope. There's still hope. Can I say for you today, if you're wayward in your relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's still hope. Can I say for that wayward family member, there's still hope. Thank God today, friend, there's still hope in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it all hinges, it all is determined by what you and I do with God's Son. There was a responsibility given to the nation of Israel to fulfill God's plan. They failed when the very Son of God was standing before them. So we see, secondly, the rejection. And it's still a problem today. Everybody, with all this going on, I think about just these shootings the last 2 days in America. You cannot legislate and take care of that. It's a condition of the heart. You know what America needs? America needs a heaven-sent Holy Ghost revival. I'm talking about a moving and a stirring and a shaking of Almighty God. I'm talking about God's people getting to the place where they get on their faces before God and begin to cry out to God, God, send revival. God, stir my heart. God, stir the heart of our church. God, stir the heart of our community. God, stir the heart of our nation. You say, preacher, we're too far gone. There's still hope. It all determines of what we will do with God's Son today, my friend. What we would do with God's Son. Notice, not only was a responsibility given in the parable, but notice there was a rejection. Three things I want you to see about the rejection. Number one, they rejected the servants. Is that not what Jesus said? God said, I sent servants to the household of Israel. That's what He's saying. I sent servants. And they beat them. And kill them. Is that not what He says? Let's look at it here. And when the time of the fruit drew near, He sent His servants to the husband that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husband took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. And again He sent other servants more than the first. And they did unto them likewise. Number one, they rejected God's servants. In other words, God's always had a man. God's always had a voice crying in the wilderness, if you will. God's always had somebody. Thank God. Hallelujah. We ought to rejoice in that this morning, church, that God's always had somebody. God's had a servant somewhere that was standing up and thank God, thundering His voice. Thank God with the Word of God and letting them know that there was a God in heaven that we're all accountable to, that there was a God in heaven that's a God of love and mercy and grace and forgiveness and salvation, but also there was a God of judgment for those that would not yield themselves to Him, that would reject Him. Friend, there's still a true and a living God in which you're accountable to this morning. Number one, they rejected His servants. And it's no different today. People want somebody to tell them what they want to hear. God didn't call me to tell you what you wanted to hear. God saved me and God called me to preach unto you the whole counsel of the Word of God. Then it'll be up to you whether you receive that or reject that. You say, preacher, you're just mean. No. I love you today. There ain't a person in this building this morning that I do not love. Why? Because he first loved me. And we are to love one another. But I want to tell you something, this friend, this morning. If you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, what will you do when God says, you're not rejecting me? Now, you can say whatever you want to about me. You can say he's long-winded, leather-lunged, a hellfire, brimstone preacher. I don't like that. You can say whatever you want to about me today. But, friend, at the end of the day, you're not rejecting me. But you're rejecting the Son, the One, thank God, that went to Calvary and bled, died, and suffered so that you could be redeemed by the good grace of God and come into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not rejecting me. Friend, you are rejecting God Himself and His Son and the way of salvation. Number one, they rejected God's servants. They'll talk about you. They'll run you down. Oh, yeah. I'm a man just like you are. I'm flesh just like you are. But God's put a calling on my life. I want to fulfill that calling. And every individual should want to fulfill the calling that God puts on your life. But they noticed, number one, they rejected His servants. Number two, they rejected the Scriptures. You say, preacher, I don't see that in the text. Well, what did the servants tell the nation of Israel and God's people? Was it their word? Now, I'm talking about a genuine prophet. I'm not talking about one of these fly-by-night deals. I'm not talking about these ones that's in it for the money. I'm not talking about these ones that's in it for airplanes and helicopters and BMWs. Now, if God blesses you with that, hallelujah. I'm not preaching it. But I'm saying God's not, a lot of that's not, He's not in that. But the true prophet, or today, now the prophet's been done away with. Today God calls preachers and pastors and evangelists and teachers. So you're not rejecting them, you're rejecting Him. Again. But the true prophet, or the true, in today's terminology, the true preacher or pastor or evangelist is going to preach you the Scriptures. Now, I'm not saying that every word that we breathe and speak is Scripture. I'm not saying that. But I am saying this morning, if you are called of God, as these prophets were, to go to Israel, as Jesus is illustrating in the parable this morning, and making, of course, application to our day today, it's when the preacher stands in the pulpit and preaches the Word of God. And of course, when he preaches, he is to preach the Scriptures. That's what you are rejecting. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Not only are you rejecting His servants, or do we see in the parable that they were rejecting God's servants, or they had rejected God's servant, they had rejected God's Scriptures. But here's the more important part. They rejected the Son. Is that not what He says? Again in verse 37, but last of all, God said, you won't hear the prophets. God said, I'll send my Son. That's what He's illustrating in the parable. Last of all, once and for all, no more sacrifice for sin. No more blood has to be shed. No more animals have to be killed. Hallelujah. Why? Because the Son of God went to Calvary and laid down His life so that you and I could be redeemed and know the Savior. But God says, you rejected even the Son. And that's what will you do with God's Son? Notice what Jesus said in John chapter number 3 and verse number 17. We get 16 a lot of times, but we don't get 17. The Bible says in John 3:17, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him, might be saved." Now that might doesn't hinge upon God. That might hinges upon you and I. What will you do with God's Son? We have this morning before us a responsibility was given and given to the nation of Israel. We find a rejection here by the nation of Israel. Notice also the Bible teaches us He came to His own received Him not. And there was a rejection. You know what the problem in America is today? There is still a rejection of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. What will you do with God's Son? You may be here as a young person. They say, "Preacher, I got plenty of time. I want to live it up." Do you really want to live it? Let me ask you a question. I don't know why God's leading me down this road, but here we go. You say you really want to live it up. You want to live the big time. You just live it up and have a big time and a big party and all those kind of... Hey, could I give you some advice this morning? If you really want to live it up, if you really want to have something that's beneficial, if you really want to hang out with some people, thank God that you can worship with and rejoice with and have a good time with, just get born again. Thank God by the Son of God this morning. Hallelujah. Friend, I'd rather be saved than to go to any party in this world. I'd rather be saved than have $1 million. You say, "Preacher, wouldn't you like to have $1 million? It'd be all right, I guess. But if it stood in the way of my salvation, I wouldn't want it today. Friend, there's nothing like knowing the Savior today. Hallelujah. To have peace and joy and contentment. And know when you close your eyes in death that you're going to wake up in a place where there will never be no more sickness, never no more sorrow, never no more suffering, never no more separation. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. I'd rather be saved and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb than anything I know today, my friend." Somebody say, "That boy done lost his mind. Well, leave me alone. I'm having a good time. I'd rather be saved. Because I'm going to die one of these days unless the rapture takes place. And so are you. Now I pray the rapture takes place. I'd like for us all to go together. I'd rather be in church on Sunday morning than to be at the bar on Saturday night." Huh? Hey, man. Hallelujah. I'd rather be in church on Sunday night than be like hanging out in the alley somewhere with a needle stuck in my arm any time. Amen. Hallelujah. What's the problem with man today? It's the condition of the heart. We see the responsibility. Jesus illustrating that responsibility to Israel. We see there was a rejection. And friend, there'll be a day that if you continue to go the way you're going, you'll regret what you've done with God's Son. Because one day you'll open your eyes in hell. You say, "Preacher, that's just not popular." Well, friend, that's the Bible. One day you'll open your eyes in hell. And it won't be for just a little while, by the way. In a place where there's outer darkness, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, in a place where the worm dieth not, in a place where the rich man still wanting one drop of water and can't get it, in a place that is a continual falling, a continual darkness, and continual separation of God. What will you do with God's Son? Hey, Jesus just lays it on the line. What will you do with God's Son? Notice this morning, not only the responsibility, but notice the rejection. Then thirdly, I want you to see the results of rejection, and I'll try to get through quickly. We see the results of that rejection. Notice number one, God or Jesus here in this parable talks about judgment upon a nation of rejecting his God's son and neglecting the responsibility that was given unto them. Let me say to any nation that rejects God that there will be a judgment that will come. Psalms 33 and 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You know what America's problem is today? Their God is not the Lord. There's been a rejection. Number one, in this rejection, we see that Jesus himself deals with the judgment upon the nation of Israel. They cried out, crucified, crucified. Let the blood be upon us and our children. Well, guess what? It is. Now, God's going to give Israel another chance. Don't misunderstand me. Why? Because their God's chosen. Because go all the way back to the faith of Abraham. But I want you to notice the results of rejection. Not only do we see the judgment of a nation, let me also give you Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. America better get right with God. America better get right with God. North Carolina better get right with God. Wilkes County better get right with God. Wilkesboro, North Carolina better get right with God. Because judgment will come if you reject His Son. What will you do with God's Son? Notice not only do we see the rejection of a nation, but then He talks about the judgment upon the individual over in verse 44. Look at it. I like this verse of Scripture. And whosoever shall fall on this stone, who's that stone? It's the Son. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't have time to get in all this, the references of the stone this morning. We might do that sometime or another different, but He's that stone. Notice what He says about the stone. And whosoever shall fall on this stone, I'll talk about that in a minute, shall be broken. But then notice what he goes, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. We see God's judgment on a nation in the parable. We see God's judgment on the individual. He will grind you to powder. Preacher, that doesn't sound like a God that loves me. Sure He does. But if you reject His Son, you will stand in judgment of the Son one day, and you'll be sorry that you rejected the Son. Notice not only the judgment upon a nation and the judgment upon the individual, but also in making reference here this morning to the results of this rejection, we see that the responsibility was passed on to someone else. Notice back in verse 43. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Who's that? That's the Gentile nation. By the way, that's you and me. Unless there's some folks in here this morning that are Jews, and if you are, God loves you and God wants to save you and make you a part of the church too. He came first to what? To the Jew and then to the Greek, meaning the Gentile. But notice what Jesus says about this results of this rejection. Number one, He says, I'll judge a nation. Number two, I'll judge an individual. And number three, I'll give the responsibility to someone else. If you and I will not... Oh, this is good right here. If you and I as God's people this morning will not take up our responsibility as God's people, He'll give it to somebody else. Whew. Is that not what He teaches in the parable? Man, I want to fulfill my responsibility. I'm nothing this morning. I don't claim to be anything. But man, I want to fulfill what God's put me here to do. And you should desire the same. Lord, help me to fulfill my responsibility. Because if I don't, you give it to somebody else. Think about the parable of the talents. Oh, my. I'm getting into more here than I wanted to. Amen. But notice in the parable, what will you do with God's Son? What will I do with God's Son? What will Pleasant Grove Baptist Church do with God's Son? Notice there was a responsibility given. Notice there was a rejection. But then notice there was a result of those rejections. Fourthly this morning, and I got to hurry. Notice it, though. Lastly, let's look at those that receive. I put that down as the redeemed, by the way. Hallelujah. Redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I want you to notice, first of all. Now notice Jesus talks about those that he says in verse 37, but last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. This morning, first of all, those that receive the son this morning, number one, they recognize him as the son. They recognize him as the son. The son of God himself. The only begotten, the one that God made plans and preparations for, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost made preparations for before the foundation of this world was ever put into place. God was making a plan of redemption for me and a plan of redemption for you and a plan of redemption for the whole world. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hell was not even made for mankind, but for the devil and his angels. He didn't make that place for you. But if you reject the Son, that's exactly what happens. I want you to notice today, let's look at a brighter side of this thing. Now, those that receive, number one, they recognize the Son. Number two, they reverence the Son. Number three, they repent to the Son. You say, preacher, where do you see that? Look back in verse 44. And whosoever shall fall, watch it now, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. Do you remember a time in your life where sin had taken over in your life and the Holy Ghost of God, under the preaching of the Word of God, put a conviction on your heart? I mean, let you know that you was lost and undone and that you needed a Savior. And if you died in the condition that you were in, that you were going to die and perish without God. I'm telling you, I can remember that time. I can remember that day. But I'm glad, thank God, on that Sunday morning that I stepped out, hallelujah, and walked the aisle and made my way to Calvary. I'm glad I fell on the stone, hallelujah, thank God, and repented and told God I'm sorry, hallelujah, and to forgive me of my sin. And you know what he done? He done that very thing. Hallelujah this morning. Aren't you glad? Thank God if you'll fall on the stone and repent and say, God, I'm sorry. God, I received you as my Savior. You know what he'll do? He'll save you and he'll redeem you. What will you do with God's Son this morning? Number one, you need to recognize him as the Son. By the way, there is no other. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said. That's not my words, that's his. Number one, they recognize him as the Son. Number two, they reverence him as the Son. He ought to be reverenced this morning. In other words, respected and honored. Worshipped. But today, they do just like many of the Jews done, especially those religious leaders. They made fun of him. They didn't reverence him. They didn't fear him. They didn't honor him. Boy, I'm afraid I see a lot of that today. If we're not careful, we'll let it even slip into our churches.
Hey, not everything that every church does is reverencing and honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sorry to say that. Now, we can't do anything about other places, but we can do something about this one. We ought to reverence Him. Those that receive Him, number one, recognize Him. Number two, they reverence Him. Number three, they repent. They fall on the stone instead of the stone falling upon them. Notice the difference. And if the stone falls on you again, He will grind you to powder. You may think you got it all in tow. You have what the old saying is, you got the tiger by the tail. And one day the tiger will come around and get you. And that being the Lord Jesus Christ. What will you do with God's Son? For the redeemed today, for those that receive, they recognize, they reverence, they repent. Then I think about the reward. It brings us into a personal relationship with the Son. See, Jesus wanted every one of those religious leaders to come into a personal relationship with Him. You know, the funny thing about this, as I read this parable, is they knew just exactly who Jesus was talking about. Huh? Is that not what the text says? Look at it with me real quickly here. Verse 45. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard His parables, they perceived that He spake of them. They knew. Could I say this morning, friend, you know as well. You can't go out of here, oh, preacher, I just didn't know. You know. You know whether you're right with God today or not. Why? Because God will let you know that. I don't know much this morning, and don't claim to know much. But I'm glad what I do know, I try to know well. And I know that He loved me, and I know He saved me, and I know He's going to look after me. Irregardless of what might come my way. See, there's a reward for those that receive Him. But friend, there's judgment for those that reject Him. Let me give you one verse of Scripture and I'm done. Brother Scotty, go ahead and get you a song. Folks will be making you wait in the instruments. See, those that receive this morning, the redeemed, they recognize the Son. They reverence the Son. They repent and fall on the stone. The reward is that relationship with the Son, the eternal relationship, because He is the rock of our salvation. Let me give you this verse of Scripture, Psalm 18:2. The Lord is my rock. Everybody paying attention? Look this way. Let me have your attention. The psalmist said, the Lord is my rock. And my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Let me read that one more time. Some of you didn't get it. Some of you think you're living a life now. Boy, you ever get born again, you'll know what life's all about. You'll just begin living when you come to the rock of our salvation. Let me give it to you again. One more time. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. He's all I need. Let me say that again. Some of you might want to shout right here. He's all I need. He's all I need. Here in the center. He's all I need.
Why don't you say it with me this morning? He's all I need. He's all I need. Thank God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God, to the rock of my salvation. He's all I need today, my friend. Praise God. That about makes me want to take a running spell. You say, preacher, you done lost your mind. You get to heaven. If you get there, and I hope you do, when you see him, you'll probably want to take a running spell too. Because you're going to realize he's all that you need. He's all that you need. Why? Because if you'll trust him, he'll supply everything else that we need. Preacher, you believe that? I sure do. He's all I need. When I get to come to the place to die, he's all I need. When I get sick, he's all I need. When I'm in the place of disappointment and discouragement, he's all I need. Why? Because he's the rock of my salvation. What will you do with God's Son? You're either going to receive him or you're going to reject him. You're either going to fall on the rock or the rock's going to fall on you. You must choose. Stand to your feet, Father. In the stillness of this service, and the Holy Ghost of God working and moving in the hearts of people, I pray right now, Father, that you would help each individual. Allow the Holy Spirit of God to search their heart. They think they need the things of this world and all that goes with it. But Lord, what they really need today is the rock of salvation. And I pray in the stillness of this service, God, that you're knocking upon somebody's heart's door. Even right now. And Lord, they would come today and fall upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Lord, if they don't, one day the rock will fall upon them. Oh God, this morning. Oh God. Would you help them to see today? God, would you take the blinders off for just a moment and help them to see that they need you? What will they do with God's Son? What we, as your people this morning, what will we do with God's Son? I pray as Christians this morning, Lord, you'd help us to fulfill our responsibility and get out the good news of the gospel and to live it each and every day of our life. Lord, you take the invitation right now. Lord, I sense that you're working and moving. I just pray we'd be obedient. In Jesus' name, as every head's bowed, every eye's closed, God is speaking to your heart as they place